For a second, then we'll use Bamidbar, our Parsha, which is very exciting to start a whole new Parsha. Those of you who have been a little bit negligent in Shnayim Mikra, you can start a whole new Sefer right now. Bamidbar is beginning. I want to talk about the connection of Bamidbar and Matan Torah. And I want to really discuss a lot, because many of us right now, in the year in Israel, Torah is a very big part of our lives. If you think back to our lives in America, maybe even our families' lives in America, how big a role does Torah play in our lives when we're back over there? Both, again, we don't maybe not know it because we haven't really been there, at least not for a fixed amount of time. But we'll soon see how we are. What is the role we have? It's just not only Torah is not an Israel thing. Torah is a Jewish thing. Let's talk about today a little bit about why Torah, how Torah is really a big role in our lives. We'll use Bamidbar as a opening for this idea. As you'll see in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, Parsha Bamidbar, we describe a certain breakdown of the camps of the Jewish people. They're called. They broke down into digalim, into like units, into flags. Literally, it's called. And Chazal point out that this was, the Jewish people were waiting to break down into flags. They were very excited to break down into this group of three Shvatim in each surrounding area of the Mizbech, north, south, east, and west. And we broke down into groups of four Shvatim into each area, sorry, three Shvatim into each of these four areas. So the Emes Yaakov, Rabbi Emeski, asked the following question. What took so long to start the breakdown? Why we start, again, right now is when it begins, the flags. Right now we're beginning our breakdown. We've been camping in the woods already for a while in the Midbar. We've had an entire Vayikra pass, part of Shmos pass. We've been in the Midbar already. Why do we only now begin the journey into these groups with our flags? This is the following idea. Picture a flag. You know, this happens sometimes when it comes to like ball games or sports. You have a uniform. It's us versus them. You have color. It's us versus them. It's very easy to get caught up in stereotypes or associations. This is my team, that's your team. Look around the world. People are very civilized in general, become crazy following their sports team. They become crazy. People kill each other, literally, have killed each other over fights about sporting events. Certainly in England, it's even worse than it is in America. Over football, soccer in England, it's worse. It's every time you go somewhere, it's like dangerous to wear the other team's jersey. What is wrong with us? You know, this could have been your partner at work. You could have had Shabbos with them yesterday. And all of a sudden, like, you're at each other's throats. What's wrong with us? Why are we doing this? So when you have different colors and different teams, it's very easy to get caught up in things. In Eretz Yisrael, there's so much animosity between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. A lot. Sephardim are like the lower class in Israel. They're considered that way. Nebuch. And they recently had to go through like school systems. Open up your doors for Sephardim. They wouldn't open them up. It was like the blacks of like 70 years ago in America, 80 years ago in America. Same story. What's wrong with us? Even now, if you would walk in with an army uniform, as we had a student of ours, Elliot Shalom, who was a student of Torah Chicago, would walk into Meir Shalom with an army uniform on, they had to close the doors and lock the door so they wouldn't be attacked by the residents of Meir Shalom. He's a Jewish guy. He's just wearing a uniform. They'll attack you. If you go to America and you see a guy who's wearing a kippah, I don't care what kippah he's wearing. Brother, you stop one of these gas stations on the road somewhere. You have a gas station, a rest stop, some service area in the middle of Wyoming, which is a state in America. And you see another guy with a kippah on. Whoa, my brother, you're so excited. Who cares what kippah he has on? Who cares if he's wearing sitzes or not? He's your brother. In reality, we're supposed to be brothers, but we're not like that. We're not like that anymore. But back then, why not? Because we have uniforms now. Here's my uniform. I wear this. Here's my uniform. And you don't wear my uniform, so we're not on the same team anymore. So Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that could happen. It does happen now. It could happen back then. So we had to wait. We had to wait until we were all centered around a common goal, a common theme. The Mishkan with the Aron that contained the Luchos. That brings us together. What? Had it not been for the Mishkan, which was the Aron that the Luchos were inside of, we couldn't have different colors because we'd all be on different teams then. But the moment that you realize, one second, the moment you realize that we're all fighting for the same team, we're all in it together. We all have our own portion and our own slot and our own opportunity to connect to Torah. Then we're partners. We're not fighting each other, we're partners. It's like, imagine the worst thing you see is when two teammates fight. What are you fighting for? They always capture that scene on the bench. You know, they always try to find the coach or the player. What are you arguing for? Arguing for the other team, not the guy on your own team. So Hashem had a way for us to have a common denominator. And that was Torah. Once we had Torah in our lives, then everything else changes. And you're my brother. Different kippahs, different type of sitzis, different minhagim, who cares? Even one day or 2 days, we're all brothers. We're brothers. And we worked together as a team, and we had to wait for that to happen. That's what the Torah does for us. It gives us a chance to be able to connect as brothers. Now, the problem is, if you don't have Torah in your life, so what do we have? Right now, we're in a yeshiva. We're learning Torah. We'll be leaving soon. Some of us are coming back. Some of us not coming back. We're going to the next stage of our lives, some of us. What happens if there's no Torah in your life? Now what happens? So there's a line. It's actually, I've made it into a song also. It says, Dida bay, kula bay. If you have it, you have everything. Udloda bay, if you don't have it, ma bay. What do you have? What do you have? Zemamar shenamar bimarava. This is what they said in Eretz Yisrael. This song, the Avraham Fried song, it's a Gemara. If you have Torah, you have everything. You know, on Torah, what do you have in the end of the day? You have nothing. You could have tons of houses, tons of cars, beautiful this, great toys. You have nothing in the end. And we'll soon see why. This idea is brought down also, as many of you may know, hopefully you should know, when the Torah was given to Bnei Israel on Har Sinai, so there was two conflicting versions of what took place. One version, we said with open arms. What do we say? Nasev Nishma. Bring whatever it is. I'm looking forward to doing it. I don't even heard it yet. I don't care what it is. I have a gift from God. I'll do it all. What was the conflicting version that we had? Hashem picked up a mountain. It says, B'tachti Sahar. We camped at the bottom of the mountain. What that means literally is the foot of the mountain. But says Chazal, the word Shabbos brings down. Hashem picked a mountain over our heads up. And he says, if you take the Torah right now, good. And if not, says the Lashon of the Gemara and Shabbos, Sham Tehei Kvuraschem. This is where you will be buried. This will be your end. So, new, you want the Torah or not? But which version is correct? Those are very different versions. Do we want Yikold? Do we want the Torah or not? So, I think it's brought down to Kliyakar. I forgot to clear out the Orach Chaim. Bring in the following thing. Hashem wasn't, you took the Torah. We already took that. We said not for this. We were on it already. But Hashem said the following thing, just so you know. If you wouldn't have taken it, you might as well be dead. You might as well stay where you are right now. I'm not threatening. You already said you wanted it. But I just want to explain to you what it would mean to be without the Torah. Without the Torah, then you're just a walking dead man. Here is your burial place. Now, look around the world. Is that true? The world's filled with people don't learn Torah. They look pretty happy. They seem pretty alive. How can we describe people who don't have Torah in their life as they're dead? Is that really fair to do? So the answer is that you can live. Let's say you buy a car. You buy a car. And you use it. But you don't use it for a car. You use it to act as a backstop for your baseball game. You need something to kind of keep the ball from flying into the street. So you park your car behind the game. Throw your pitches, real baseball. That's like your catcher. The guy hits the ball. The catcher, boom, hits the thing. So you bought a car, right? Using your car. It's not called a car. It's called a backstop. Now, it's true, you paid $40,000 for a backstop. It sounds pretty expensive. But no one would call that a car anymore. It's not a car. Says the Kliyakar, it's not called life anymore. You think it's called life when you live using your body as a backstop instead of as a car? It's supposed to be a device that we fly in. L'gam l'pircha. We're flying in this device. This device is bringing us to new heights. Not a device that I use to seek out pleasures, personal gain, selfish opportunities. That's not what this is supposed to be about. It's like using a car as a backstop. That's not called life then. People may do it and they may even like it. What do you mean? It works. After the ball, it's great. It serves a purpose, which is not what it's supposed to be doing. That's not called a car. This is not called a life anymore. What the Torah gives you a chance to do is you get to navigate life the way it's supposed to be navigated. I mentioned the pre-shir, I learned this a little bit with Avi and Max, that we are people of the mind right now. We used to be people of the heart. Before we sit in from the Eitz Hadas, we always wanted to just do good, good, and good. We walk outside, we see God in a second. But then we made a sin, and we have now Tov and Ra, and our minds were confused. Our minds have to be kept in order. What the Torah is given to us to do is to make sure our minds are pure. It's like you go to somewhere that's contaminated, and when you leave, you get a spritz of decontamination, you walk out again, that's what the Torah is. We live in a world that's very confusing. There's exciting things all around us, things that are appealing to us, and we get caught up, and our mind sometimes starts to shift. And the learning of the Torah keeps your mind pure and pristine. If you do not learn Torah, then you think you know. You think you have it. You think you got it, but you don't. It's like lahavdil, you have a car, and your car sometimes, sometimes the guys also, it's something called realignment. When you leave your car, you don't touch the wheel. The car starts to veer on its own. Starts to veer. Something happened in the course of the process of the car, and its alignment's off. You have two choices. You get a realignment, or whenever you drive, you keep your hands on the wheel, and whenever you start to veer, you pull it back again, pull it back again, pull it back again, or get a realignment. The Torah is our realignment in life. If you study Torah, then your thoughts and your process is working well. When you do not study Torah, then your thoughts and your process is off. It's off. Something's wrong with it. I'll give you some muscles of that, what that means in a minute from now. And something actually, I'll say something that Tzvi said a few weeks ago, maybe it was. La'adzil, similar mushroom. We're talking about method acting in the shir. I never heard it before. You guys educated me on what method acting meant. But it means you play a certain role and you're all in that role. It consumes who you are. You act like you're that person. And there are people who go through that process and they don't get out of it afterwards. They're so stuck in a method acting role, they can't pull themselves out of it. And Tzvi shared with me, there was a guy even who required a therapist to remind him of who he was at all times. So Torah learning is your therapist. You learn, you go to the workplace, you do this thing for money, you do that thing for money. It's confusing. I think money this, money that. Also, I go back home and I learn Torah. And it gets my mind, reshifts my mind. When you go through days, weeks, months, years without Torah in your heart and in your mind, the next thing you know, you don't see anymore the right way. You can't tell anymore, which is real. And you think those rabbis back in yeshiva, what were they smoking? What's wrong with those people? Like, they're so lost. The truth is that your mind has gotten away from you, where God gave it to you in the first place. There was one person in our history, just one, who ever got to God without Torah's help beforehand. Avraham Avinu. That was it. Everyone else in that time had gotten lost. One guy took his mind and said, doesn't make sense to me, nor does that or that or that. I have one conclusion left. There's got to be a God. He was the only person in the history of mankind to ever find God without help. No help. But once he did it, he told his children, told his child, and finally we have the Torah. And the Torah now becomes our help. When you celebrate Matan Torah, you're not celebrating a book that we get that we have to learn, or we do learn, whatever word you want to use. We're celebrating a reminder of what's going on for real in life. Anybody here ever seen the movie Memento? Crazy movie. Crazy movie. It's about a guy who has no short-term memory. He can't make new memories. What he does, he has to remind himself through tattoos or notes, whatever it would be, of things that he saw happen before he forgets it happened that way. The Torah is your memory jogger. You learn Torah so you don't forget what is the task at hand. You might actually think, you know what the task at hand is? To be rich. To marry a beautiful woman. That's my task at hand. But then at some point in time, we have a wake-up call. It could be something very nebuch, a terrible story we had, just happens now in our yeshiva, and really more in a Tiv Aryeh, where a person in the prime of life just passed away from the world out of nowhere. It's a wake-up call. You know, whatever job he had, who cares? Didn't matter. Well, you know what mattered? His family. His family, his religious commitments, the legacy left behind, that's all that would matter. Who cares how much money you have when you die? So what? That's not what it's about. It's all about how you live your life. And therefore, the Torah is a jogger. It's a memory jogger. Don't forget what your task is at hand. And just knowing this is not enough. You know it exists. Because if you don't learn it, then your mind is not still being aligned properly. I'll give an example of this. The Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Right? Look around you. The entire world thinks we're criminals. The whole world thinks we're criminals. What is wrong with them? How could it be that everyone thinks the Israelis are the aggressors, the offensive ones? And even with all the footage, and Tomer showed me today a video of a row of people who are all buried or all dead with sheets over their bodies that we just killed, I guess, in the last, you know, when they attacked the fence. Until one of them was like had to scratch his nose or moved around, and then the whole thing started moving. Like, you see a video like that, send it out. Show the world. And you expect them to be like, oh my gosh, you know, we had it all wrong. Or when a guy on television, an Islamic militant guy, is trying to defend the fact that they didn't send just children and women to be killed, but 50 armed terrorists were among those who were killed just now. Which means he's admitting that there were armed terrorists part of the peaceful protests. He said it himself on his news station. Wouldn't you imagine you just throw that out to the world and then everyone's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, you're right. Not like that. Not like that. How is it not like that? How can it be? You know why? Because the mind is off. There's no alignment in the world. There's no alignment. People sometimes are just so messed up. We live in a messed up world with messed up people who have messed up ideas and they're running the world. 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I don't know what, three or four, there's a big honorary award given by ESPN to the person with the most courage in the world, the Jimmy V Award, they called it. And Caitlyn Jenner won it. Who's Caitlyn Jenner? She's Bruce Jenner, who was an American athletic icon. The most manliest man ever until now he's not. Now he's not a man anymore. He won the Courageous Award. You know who he beat? He beat a person who ran the Boston Marathon, who was in the explosion that happened, they had limbs blown off. They put prosthetic limbs back on, and they ran the marathon the next year again. And that person lost to Caitlyn Jenner. Really? Not only that, but people who spoke out about it were vilified by the media. Really? This is the world you're going back to? This is the mindset of our world we live in today? This is what we're going back, this is what we think is normal? Crazy! Torah learning provides you with sanity. Because otherwise you will become insane with ideas, insane with your thoughts, with your outlook, with your perspective. Insane. I needed to, my wife and I had to clear some money recently. Well, actually now. Clear some money to buy something. And we have very little liquid cash. I don't want to get personal here, but I'll share with you and everyone else listening to this tape right now. And we had to sell some stocks. We have like 7 or 8 stocks that we own. You know how hard it is to pick? Oh my gosh, this one's probably going to go, man, I already lost it. I don't want to sell right now. I lost it already. It's one I gained, but it looks like it's good, doing well. Man, I want. And you're sitting there like, what do I do? And you're frozen. You're paralyzed. How do I sell the right stock now? You don't have to do it yourself. Flip a coin, maybe. You read all people's, you know, their investment articles about it. You got to take a guess. Ironically, that's what happens when it comes to stocks. But to be an Eved Hashem is not so hard to figure out what to do. It's actually every single detail is laid out for you. You plug in an equation, what do I do in this scenario, and then you have an answer for you. It's really very simple after all. It's not hard to be a great Eved Hashem. It's so easy to figure it out. It says in the Sefer of Obi, I mentioned before, it's called Chachma Shlomo. Sorry, Da Shlomo. Sefer on Matan Torah. This whole thing, this whole big fat book, all about Kabbalah and Torah, about Shuas. So the following line. Hashem says in the Torah, Re'ei natzadif nechas abracha v'esaklala. I place in front of you life, or blessing and curse. Chayim, life, and mavas, and death. And Hashem has to ask us, please, b'charta b'chayim, choose life. He has to ask us that? Yeah, we have to. You know why? Because we live in a crazy world where a person will buy a package that says, that smoking this will kill you, and you'll ask for two of them. What is wrong with us? We're crazy. We're mamish insane right now. And we have one anchor. The anchor is Torah. That's our anchor. I'll end with this last point. It says in the Chazal say, Bizman shi Yisrael osin ratzono shel makom nikraim banim. When the Jewish people do the wish of Hashem, they're called his children. And Bizman shi ain osin ratzono shel makom, we don't do the wish of Hashem, we're called his avadim. Not banim, we're his servants. Or Shlomo Shadron says, one second, a servant usually does what his master wants, not doesn't do what his master wants. What does it mean we're called servants then? It doesn't say that you don't do the actions of Hashem, it says you don't do the ratzon of Hashem. You don't do the want of Hashem. He gives the following mashal. He says that when there were two people on Erev Pesach, there are two different stores he went to visit. And Erev Pesach, everything is packed. You got to buy everything that you want for the upcoming holidays. Everything is packed. Most stores shut down, maybe even the holidays sometimes. Just sitting there, and the cashiers are overworked. And there's huge lines out. So there's a guy in the back room who happens to be the accountant of that story. He sees what's going on. He puts his stuff down. He gets up and he takes one of the aisles and he helps out in the business. He goes to another store a few blocks away. Same thing. Lines up the door. The cashier in the back doing his work. The accountant in the back doing his work. And he sees his lines. He doesn't get up. Does his work. And then when he finishes, he goes home. What's the difference between these two people, these two accountants? One of them is the son of the owner of the market, of the store. And he cares about his father. He cares about him. You know, I'm done here, but let me help. It's not just check off my job. Let me help out if I can. He does the rutzon of his father. The other one doesn't care about the... He's a paid worker. Give me my money, I'll do my job, and I'll walk out afterwards. I'll leave. You know what it's called when you do the rutzon of Hashem? Not his actions, but because you want it, because he wants it. It's called your son. You get up from your position that you have and help out your father. And you're happy to do so. You know what it's called when you say to yourself, I have a job. Unfortunately, I'm a Jew. Unfortunately, I have a task at hand. Unfortunately, I'll do my job and that's it. You're called an Eved. There's no connection. You don't do it for God's sake. Many people in this room over here are Bunim. Who's an Eved? You can go back to opportunity later on to be in other places. You don't have to. No one's calling you in the morning when you miss a shiur. What happens? There's a line that says, Ein ben chorin ela misha osik b'Torah. You know what that means? The only true free person is someone who learns Torah. Then you're free. Why does that make you free? Because otherwise, you're crazy. It's your sanity. It's what makes you normal. So it makes you not be a backstop for a ball game, but rather be a proper car. Bacharta b'chayim. Final story. Once a guy who was wanted to... He was having a hard time with the Yetzer Hara. He went to his Rebbe and he said, "New Rebbe, help me. How do I beat the Yetzer Hara?" He said, "Go to this man's house. You ask him and you'll hear all the answers from this guy." Never heard of the guy before. It was about a day's worth of travel. He goes, tells his wife and kids, "I'll be back soon." He goes for a day, travels over there, walks into there's a big, you know, the door is a big, big gate there. He gets through the gate to the front door and he hears the family upstairs. He can see through the window that they're out upstairs and they're having dinner. Knocks on the door. No answer. Okay, probably pretty loud. They're up loud there. He can't hear him, so he knocks on the door loudly. No answer. Bangs on the door. Hello, hello. No answer. The guy's like trying to throw things, get their attention. They go to bow their merry way. Don't hear a thing. They don't pay him any attention whatsoever. He goes back to his room that night. You know, wherever he's staying in the hotel, and he's very frustrated. Next morning, he's about to go back next morning to his his Rebbe again to tell the bad news. He couldn't figure out how to get to speak to this guy, and he figures, I'll go out by one more time. He knocks on the door, bangs the door. Guy opens up, what's going on? What can I do for you? He goes, my Rebbe sent me here to ask you a very important question. How do I beat the Yetzer Hara? How do I beat him? Guy goes, I have no idea. I don't know why he sent you to me. I don't know how to beat the Yetzer Hara. You must be the wrong guy. He says, no, I'm telling you, it was you. He goes, I'm sorry, I can't answer your question. So frustrated. And the way he goes, you know what, before I leave, I have to ask you a question. He goes, anything. Did you hear me last night knocking on your door? Yeah, of course I did. Why didn't you get the door? He goes, what do you mean? I was with my family having dinner. He's like, yeah, but I wanted to speak to you. He said, yeah, but you know what? I'm the Baal HaBayis. I'm in charge of the house. I decide who I'm speaking to. I was speaking to my family. I'm not speaking to anyone else now. I'm the Baal HaBayis. And with that, he told the guy, you know, they said their goodbyes and that was it. The guy goes back to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, you know, not only did I not get the answer, but I'm offended. He said, something happened. He says, the guy wouldn't answer the door. Why? Because I'm the Baal HaBayis. He says, it's exactly the point. The Yetzer Hara or you? Who's the Baal HaBayis? Who makes the call? You or Yetzer Hara? If you don't learn Torah, Yetzer Hara is the Baal HaBayis. You're not a Ben Chorin, you're a slave. I'm a slave to my movies. I'm a slave to my TV shows. I'm a slave to my money. I'm a slave to everything out there. But if you sit in the Beis Medrash, you're the greatest gift in the world, the gift of sanity that came from the creator of the world himself. And your friend Tad, I have the craziest story to tell you. Who's the Baal HaBayis right now of your body? You or Yetzer Hara? You have right now in front of you gold. You have a word of Torah right now in front of you. Who's the Baal HaBayis right now? The story or you? Ein ben chorin ela mi she'osek b'Torah. You don't learn Torah? Then you're not the Baal HaBayis, then you're the Eved. You're an Eved to your desires. You're an Eved to your social pressures. You're an Eved to everything. But if you control the outcome of your life, you make decisions based upon reality and sanity. You learn Torah because God gave it to you, because it keeps you real. You don't worry about what's the next stage of life coming your way. You think your job or your college, that's your balabais? Your money is your balabais? That's not your balabais. You're the balabais. You make decisions in your life. You don't make any other decisions but what's best for you. And God gives you one request. Ubachar te bachayim. Just choose life. Why would you ever take the bad road? Only because you're an eved to your body. Become a balabais. Give you a bracha. The lesson of Bamidbar, the lesson of anchoring yourself around Torah. Can't we all just be brothers and strive together and each have our portion in Torah? Mitzvah Shem, I give you bracha. This shuas should be the best shuas of your life, with the most Torah learned, the most inspiration that you have, and should be only the beginning or the continual process that you have already started this year to reach to become the balabais of our own homes. Have a great Shabbos.